Welcome to ID the Future. I'm Casey Luskin, broadcasting with Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture in Seattle, Washington. Today, we're rejoining a conversation with an up-and-coming hip-hop pop artist named Jacob Washington. In part one of our interview with Jacob, we discussed how he got interested in the topic of intelligent design and why there are so few artists that are exploring the topic of origins in their music. Before we get into this, I want to note that Jacob has an album coming out in October titled This Side of the Sky, which has an intelligent design theme. You should definitely check it out, as well as the single from his album that's available on YouTube titled I Believe, which is basically a song that expresses his take on the topic of intelligent design. So we're going to continue now this conversation with Jacob about his experiences discussing intelligent design and articulating these arguments through music. So, Jacob, it's great to have you back. It sounds like you've obviously made these arguments to people before. So I was curious, have you ever debated evolution with a friend or maybe even on the internet? And if so, how did it go? And what are some of the arguments that you make, and how did that argument go?
Okay, yeah, those are the funnest arguments to have. I've had many different conversations with friends, family, even people I know, and then beyond just online and stuff. And I think many people that are so gung-ho about evolution, they don't really take the time to think about the little logical things. It's kind of like what you were saying, like you want to talk about brainwashing, you're overtly pushing out the natural tendency to believe and to see that things that are created. Like, you know, I mean, again, watchmaker, things that are sitting here that are here are created. So the only thing that we start to think about that we debate about that's not, I mean, you wouldn't say a car that you look at was not created, even if you didn't see it come into manifestation. It's sitting there, it's created, it was created, right? So, I mean, man, I say in that song you were mentioning in Big Bang, I say, and we know that there's millions of monkeys and billions of modern day human beings, but please tell me what happened to the billions of evolved ones that would have died somewhere in between. And my take on that, and this is one of the things that I do use in arguments to kind of probe people and see where their minds are, it's problems like this coupled with so many uncovered hoaxes in the past that make me wonder why people can't see that much of the intellectual world is grasping at straws, trying so hard to erase the signature of God. It's not that they're just, you know, getting on a megaphone telling such an awesome truth that is blowing my mind or anybody's mind. They're trying really hard to erase something that is so natural to feel and believe. And in any debate, you know, I don't want to go on forever about it, but I do want to kind of answer your question. In any debate, you almost always end up discussing purpose, you know, almost always, right? Dude, it always comes down to why are we here? Like, what is the point of all of this? My argument to that always goes kind of like this. Like, if there's no purpose, right, there's no right, no wrong, no laws that should be or shouldn't be followed, right? And ultimately, there's no God, then nothing matters. That's the question I pose. Like, if all of that is a truth, right? And it's all a big accident, nothing matters. Not love, not hate, not life, death, you know, not breaking laws, not murder, rape, pedophilia, racism, slavery. None of it is wrong. We can't say Hitler was wrong. We can't say any of these things are wrong. And then, so I go on to ask the question, if that's the case, why do you, like whoever I'm talking to, I ask them, why do you care about anything? This is kind of where they will pause and try to think of a really smart comeback to such a simple question, as if they're going to say something that's going to make any sense to me anyways, because I already know the answer. They care because they're encoded to care. They were designed to care. They're created to care. That's just part of our DNA. In the end, either nothing we do in this world matters at all, or everything we do matters so much. You know what I'm saying?
That is such a good point, Jacob. I mean, even people who don't believe in intelligent design cannot escape the fact that they were intelligently designed. It's still a fact about their very being.
Right.
And they're going to behave accordingly.
Right.
And so, yeah, that leaves a big gap in their worldview when they cannot account for their own psychological makeup, their own tendencies, right, their own existence, their own desires, very basic desires,
right,
to have meaning. And that's a real existential problem, for, I think, for people that do go the materialistic route in their worldview. There's a lot that they cannot account for.
Right.
And going back also to what you were saying earlier about monkeys, sounds like you're kind of getting at the lack of transitional forms in the fossil record, the lack of transitions between one group of organisms and another. Is that sort of what you're getting out there?
Absolutely. I'm just looking at the facts, okay? If there are millions of monkeys, these different species and all this stuff, right, and there's billions of humans, why are there not more of these transitional beings? Like, why is that not being unearthed and discovered at some point? To me, it's a clear answer why.
It's a fair question. For any of you evolutionists out there who want to jump on Jacob right now, he actually is making a very reasonable argument, one that even leading evolutionary biologists like Ernst Mayr have asked, why are there these discontinuities in biology where we see great gaps between both living organisms and fossil organisms? We see these gaps. We don't see them bridged by transitional forms, whether living or dead,
right,
fossil ones. And this is a real problem for an evolutionary view.
Right.
I think this is a very compelling problem that evolutionists need to grapple with. Another question I'd like to ask you is this. ID proponents have faced a lot of challenges in academia because of intolerance against them in the university level. Have you had to make any sacrifices career-wise because of your views and your message on these sorts of issues?
Yeah, definitely, definitely. I mean, obviously, I think it's a little more, the spiritual side of what I'm talking about or what I'm offering with the music. I have a line in one of the songs on the record called Mr. Nobody, where I say, we're out here acting like this hate is strange. Man, that's in the Word of God. Go read Matthew 10:22, and you'll see that this road is hard. I think for me, like the truth of the gospel, the truth of how we got here, the truth of all of that, to accept that, once you accept that, it's really hard to go back. Once you see that light or that truth, it's really hard to go back. And so you do end up sacrificing things based on those beliefs. Like, I think for me, one of the biggest sacrifices would be knowing, it's not blowing my own horn or anything. Like, I know I'm talented. I know God has given me gifts to make music, to do what I do. To know that I could be using that and gaining the whole world, literally. I mean, I could use it and do what, everybody else out there, not everybody, but a great deal of other people are doing just to gain fame, fortune. But my soul, my inside, I cannot bring myself to just follow those fads or do this and that just to make money, because I know there's so much more important in what I can be saying, and I have more responsibility than that, I believe.
Jacob, I know I really appreciate what you're saying right now about making those sacrifices and having it not be about the money. You know, it's kind of funny. I think sometimes in the ID movement, some of our critics will say, well, you guys are just writing your books for the money, or you're doing this for the money. And I find that very ironic, because if we were doing this for the fame or the fortune or the money, we would be evolutionists, because they're the ones that get all the acclaim from the scientific community, and they're the ones who get all the major funding from the government to do their research. Now, I'm not saying that evolutionists are doing their research and are adopting their views just because they care about the money. Of course not. I'm sure that's not the case. I just think it's very ironic that sometimes our critics will claim that ID proponents are in it for the money, when really you would take a different view if you just cared about the fame and the fortune.
Yep.
If you just care about looking good, then fine, go with what's popular in the mainstream culture. And obviously, when you don't do that, you pay some prices at the other end. So let's talk right now about somebody who is sort of at the pinnacle of popularity in mainstream culture when it comes to science and materialism and these kinds of things, Richard Dawkins. So I'm sure you probably read some stuff by Richard Dawkins. You've probably seen him in interviews. If you could say one thing to Richard Dawkins, what would it be?
I think I'd ask him more of a question than to just say one thing. I'd ask, how is it that someone who is such an outspoken proponent of rationalism, how is it that someone like that would have the world believe that matter created itself out of nothing? Go on asking, which is a greater delusion? Because, everybody knows about the God Delusion book, right? Which is a greater delusion? Being convinced by the logical evidence that surrounds us that everything that has ever been created must have a creator, or believing that absolutely nothing created something? I don't think I need a degree from Oxford to know which sounds more ignorant.
Well, maybe you have to actually have a degree from Oxford before you can believe that. I don't know. I mean, nothing gets Oxford.
I guess I
know some great people from Oxford, very smart people. And don't get me wrong, I'm not knocking Oxford. But yeah, I can't think of a better question to ask Richard Dawkins. That's a superb answer. Maybe this is sort of a similar question, but what do you think is the number one intellectual falsehood that plagues society today?
Oh, man, people are going to hate me. Evolutionists are going to hate me, but I'd say it's evolution. I think people walking around without a purpose is obviously and clearly the root of so much that is wrong with this world. Like, you look back at history, and once people or nations would leave behind any form of higher standard that they hold themselves to and rely just on their society's shifting feelings and agendas to determine, what is right and wrong, that's, like I said earlier, that's the true breeding ground for injustice. To believe that we have no purpose and no meaning, at least give me that aliens created us. I mean, give me anything you want, but don't give me that we have no point and purpose to something that screams purpose. It's absurd.
When we see purpose around us in the world, that's there for a reason. That's there to tell us something, that life has a purpose, that we didn't arise out of nothing. Jacob, I want to maybe just close up the interview with a few basic questions about your music. And even before we go into those, I want to remind our listeners to definitely check out Jacob's album. It's titled This Side of the Sky. It's going to be available in October of 2014. And I didn't mention this earlier, but I should have. He actually has a single that's already out. It's titled I Believe. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right.
And you can check it out on YouTube. That's actually one of his multiple songs on the album that's about sort of intelligent design, or sort of has like a theme about origins. And so go check out his single, I Believe, that's available on YouTube. And also make sure you check out his website, which is jacob.com. That's J-E-K-O-B.com. So Jacob, just a few questions about your own musical background before we close it up here. But what got you interested in music originally?
I think it was coming to the understanding that how much power there is to speak to people and influence people with words and song. I mean, it was such an amazing thing to me to feel that when I listen to music, even something as simple as classical, you know, I mean, to listen to music and to have it instantly give you a feeling. Oh, it's just, it's awesome. It's an amazing thing. So that to me is what really brought me into the music world.
What made you realize you might want to actually make music a career? What gave you that realization?
Oh, man, I think it was weird because I grew up not in a very musical family at all. You know, my mom and dad weren't really into music other than listening to it. And when I was about 17, I was in a family group that we were kind of just having fun making music and thinking about life and what we knew. And the group was called Soldiers. And we hadn't aspired to take the music to any kind of professional level, but we made an album. We met a kid through our church. He was a exchange student from Germany. He kind of heard some of the music we were tinkering around with. He invited us out there. We went out there for like 2 weeks and came back with like a full record. And that was when we got our first record deal offered to us from Interscope Records. So after that, we were like, maybe God's given us something to say.
And I know with your previous group, Soldiers, and also your current being individual artist, you've done quite a bit of touring. And I'm just kind of curious, where have you toured and maybe who are some of the groups or artists that you performed with?
Yeah, we toured all over, man. I've had a privilege to be almost to all 50 states in America, to Mexico, to Denmark, Iraq, Kuwait, Italy, Germany, and toured with or done shows with artists like John Mayer, Ashanti, Toby Mac, Lecrae, you know, Third Day, all the way to Elton John in Chicago. And yeah, so it's been a very long and a fun 15 years in this industry.
Wow, that's a really diverse list of artists that you performed with.
Yeah.
who was the funnest person you performed with?
Oh man, I would say just a group of people. I'd say we went to Iraq and Kuwait a couple years in a row with the USO tour to kind of like support the troops. And it was an amazing experience. We went out there with Al Franken, Traylor Howard, of Monk, Mark Wills, Craig Morgan. It was an amazing, amazing time of just kind of camaraderie and everybody really being there for the same purpose and nothing to do with you know, performing and making money or anything. It really was an awesome time to give back, you know.
Last question here. Where would you like to be in 10 years as far as your career goes and your life goes?
Honestly, like wherever God wants me, man. I'm trying my best to kind of let go of like all the things that I really think I want, because I know God has my best interest in mind. So I try to focus on what he has in front of me and let him lead, you know.
Actually, I lied. This is my last question right now, and it's not on the script, so I'll just throw it out there, but I'm sure it's something you think about. I know that you recently had, you and your wife had your first baby, is that right?
Oh, yeah, man.
All right. So sort of a combined question here. How's that going, and has having a baby and seeing, you know, your wife go through the process of being pregnant, giving birth, has that strengthened your conviction that we're intelligent design, or has it diminished it? So, open question. There you go.
Dude, I think two things I've always thought in my life. If anybody could see these or witness them with their eyes, there's no way. I don't care if you never heard of Jesus, God, anything. There's no way you can't question the topic intelligent design. And that's definitely, like, just heightened that whole experience for me is seeing my son being born and take his first breath of air and cutting cord. And between that and I think floating around in outer space and looking down at the planet, I think those are the two the two things that I think would really win anybody over. You know what I mean?
Well, so you've accomplished one of the two things on your bucket list then. Now we just got to find a way to get to outer space.
I'm gonna find a way, man.
All right, cool. Well, Jacob, thank you so much for coming on ID the Future and sharing with us about your own musical career and your musical interests and aspirations.
Yeah, man. Thank you guys for having me, man. It's been great.
Okay, again, you've got to check out Jacob's album. It's titled This Side of the Sky. It's coming out in October 2014. Also, go listen to his single. It's available on YouTube titled I Believe. It's about intelligent design. Jacob's album actually mentions intelligent design by name. If you are a scientist or a scientifically minded person or you're not, I think you will enjoy Jacob's album either way. You're going to get a lot out of it. And there's some other great songs on the album as well. In fact, my favorite song on the album isn't even one of the songs about intelligent design. I won't say which one it is, but you can go figure that out. Jacob, thanks again, and go check it out. The website is www.jacob.com. That's J-E-K-O-B.com. I'm Casey Luskin with ID the Future. Thanks for listening.
This program was recorded by Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture. ID the Future is copyright Discovery Institute 2014. For more information, visit www.intelligentdesign.org or www.idthefuture.com.